Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
And so then I got the perception was a little hesitant in making that move. And so I gave Sherry some advice, and I said, well, Sherry, what you need to do with Dan is you need to sweet talk him. And you need to make an appeal to Dan. Well, evidently what Sherry said and did worked, because Dan gave the green light, and Sherry is here at the piano in the what I call the sunset years of my ministry, and I really am thankful for that. Let's open our Bibles and turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Also, there's a detailed outline on the back table for your convenience as well. If life is to be rock solid, then family relationships, especially marriage, must be rock solid. No wonder Peter speaks to husbands after addressing wives. In his directive towards submission, he addresses citizens and not government officials. Have you noticed that? He addresses servants and not their masters. But when it comes to the home, he addresses both wives and husbands. And so today we are going to consider how a husband's love can make a woman feel loved and secure. Now, last Sunday's message was directed toward the wives, and this message is directed toward us men and future husbands to be. I can't think of another book on the market, and I've read a lot of books on marriage and family relationships, been through a lot of counseling sessions, and been taught by some really good counselors. Bottom line is, the best resource available for giving good counsel is God's Word, the Bible. And if we can wrap our arms around last Sunday's message, ladies, and if us men can humble ourselves and wrap ourselves around these four principles, I guarantee you that the marriage will be rock solid. Now, we're going to be looking at verse 7, and I can see already I won't have time to finish my message today, so it'll be a continuation of next Sunday. But in ancient times, fortresses were built with walls of stone and fortification and gates. And the idea was that all who resided within the walls of that fortress were kept safe. Typically, fortresses had four sides to it. One facing the north, one facing the south, one facing the east, and one facing the west. And so a marriage is similar to that. A marriage is designed to keep the occupants of that marriage safe. Those who reside within its walls to be kept safe. For that to happen, it takes an enormous amount of commitment. Now, consider the plight of a young husband. He's been married now just 1 year, and he writes with some trouble, but he writes a letter in the vernacular of the computer world. He writes the letter to tech support, saying, "Dear tech support, last year I upgraded from girlfriend 5.0 to wife 1.0. I soon realized that the new program began unexpected child processing that took up lots of space and valuable resources. In addition, Wife 1.0 installed itself into all other programs and now monitors all other system activity. Applications such as Poker Night 10.3, Football 5.0, Hunting and Fishing 7.5, and Racing 3.6, I can't seem to keep Wife 1.0 in the background while attempting to run my favorite applications. I think I'm thinking about going back to Girlfriend 5.0. But the uninstall doesn't work on Wife 1.0. Please help. Signed, Trouble User. The letter comes back. Dear Troubled User, this is a very common problem. Many people upgrade from Girlfriend 5.0 to Wife 1.0 thinking that it's just a utilities and entertainment program. But it isn't. Wife 1.0 is an operating system and is designed by its creator to run everything. It's impossible to uninstall or purge the program files from the system once installed. Wife 1.0 is designed not to allow this. Look in your Wife 1.0 manual under warnings, alimony, child support. I suggest you install the background application called Yes Dear to alleviate software augmentation. The best course of action for you is to enter the command C:\apologize, because ultimately you will have to give the apologize command before the system will return to normal anyway. Well, I'm glad a half a dozen of you liked that. I sure did. But the title of this message is The Four-Sided Fortress of a Husband's Love. Now, I'm going to give you four applicational principles based on this text that form a fortress to protect those within the four-sided fortress of a husband's love. Now, what's interesting about the text is that the word love doesn't even appear in this text, although it's a very important part of the relationship. But before we jump into this text, I want to say something based upon 50 years plus of observing marriages and counseling couples before they're married, when they're married, sometimes after they are married. And I made a very important discovery. And I want to share my discovery after all these years with you. I have come to the conclusion that I believe with all of my heart that all humans on earth are incompatible with all other humans on earth. They're incompatible. Mutual incompatibility is for every single person. Just give them enough time, because we're all sinners, we're all self-centered, and we all are fallen individuals, and we all have quirks and habits, personalities that sometimes are in conflict with the one that we are married to. We have some odd habits, and we have some strange behaviors. And when two people get married, they approach the marriage altar with a picture in their minds of, ha-ha, I have found the perfect spouse. Trouble is, they married an imperfect person, so they are left with option A, tear up that picture in their mind, accept the person, or tear up the person and accept the picture. As one person put it, Robert Anderson, in any marriage more than a week old, there are grounds for divorce. The trick is to find and continue to find grounds for marriage. So folks, I am presenting to you today grounds for a good marriage based upon the role of the husband in verse 7. But it's not just the husband. The whole package has to come together here. So let's do a quick review and go back to the beginning of chapter 3. Wives, back to verse 7. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. And we saw a illustration of that in place this morning. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if ye do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Four principles here. And if a couple is in a bad relationship, by applying these four principles, their marriage can move from being a bad one to be a good one. And if a couple is in a good marriage, that marriage can move from being a good marriage to a better marriage. And if you are a couple that is in a better marriage, by applying these four principles, that better marriage can be moved to be in the best marriage, and you will be the envy of other couples in your relational world because you are living by these principles that Peter talks about in chapter 3. And there's four sides to this fortress. Let's see how far that we can go. The four-sided fortress of a husband's love. And here's the first principle. Submission is mutual. Submission is mutual. Notice how the verse begins. Set verse 7. Husbands, notice the word likewise. Now we need to stop right there because likewise is the word that takes you back to the theme that Peter has been dealing with all along, which is the theme of submission. We've been talking about that word for a long time. And that's what we have been looking at week after week in our study in 1 Peter. And we mentioned that the key verse is back in chapter 2, verse 12, that your conduct would be honorable among the Gentiles. And so the unbelieving world is watching us. The believer is on stage. The spotlight shines on us, and the world is watching us do life. Therefore, in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now look down at verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters. Move over to chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. You follow the theme. Look what he says. We submit as citizens to government. We submit as servants to masters. Wives submit to their husbands. Now notice verse 7 of our text this morning. Husbands, likewise. Now, I will say that husbands do not submit in the same way that citizens submit to government, or servants submit to a master, or wives submit to their husbands. Husbands' submission is just a little bit different, but there's a level of submission that takes place mutually between the husband and the wife. And I want you to see how that is so true. Turn back a couple of books in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, probably the most famous passage of Scripture on marriage in the New Testament is Ephesians chapter 5. And I want you to notice that most teachings that I have heard on this passage of Ephesians in chapter 5 has been wrong. It's out of place. Most people believe that the chapter has a flow to it in chapter 5, and that the flow of the family as a topic begins in verse 22 of chapter 5, where it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's where the series on marriage relationships generally take place, and that's unfortunate, and it's unfair relationally, and it's out of context biblically, and so therefore it is wrong theologically. It does not begin at verse 22. Back up one verse and you'll see where it begins. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to one another mutually in the fear of God. That's the thought. And after that thought is introduced, Paul then gives four examples of submission. He gives the example of a wife, gives the example of the husband, gives the example of children, and he gives an example of servants. So notice, submitting to one another in the fear of God, followed by wives, submit to your own husbands. Submitting to one another precedes wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. So many husbands know verse 22, they have it memorized, but they don't know too well verse 21. And they've memorized verse 22 and they have taken it out of context. I've heard it over the years. Wives, submit to your husband. I'm king of this castle. You do what I say. The Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. That's a bunch of hooey. I know many homes where husbands know verse 22, but they don't know verse 21. But in verse 22, you'll see where it says, wives, submit. Now, the word submit does not exist in its original text here. In the Greek language, it is not there, although it is implied. And so that's why translators put it in there. But it actually begins in verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Then it says, literally, wives, to your own husbands. Then down in verse 25, husbands, listen up, Peter is saying, this is for you. Love your wives. And then in chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents. Then in verse 5 of chapter 6, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. So you see, we want to set the record straight. Submission just isn't for wives. It's for the wife, it's for the husband, it's for the children, and it's for servants. There are four examples of submission. Now, I've had some men tell me over the years, you mean to tell me, Dale, that I am supposed to submit to my wife? And I say, yes. There are situations where us men, husbands, do submit to our wives. Back at verse 25 of Ephesians 5, look what it says. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There is no greater act of submission than a willingness to die for another person. Jesus on the cross was the world's greatest demonstration of submission. He submitted to the will of the Father. He submitted to the need of mankind needing salvation for their sins. And so that is a profound example of submission. Doesn't mean that the husband stops being the leader, certainly in any organization, whether in the government or at the workplace or in the home. Someone needs to make the final decisions, but you talk it out. And what we have done, tried to do, is that we talk it out, and then we come to a mutual decision, then we say, go for it. That's how we got into address 6304 65th Way Northeast. When that first came up on my radar screen, I said, no way am I going to move over there and be a part of an extended family. I like it where I'm at. The more we reasoned and the more logically we begin to sort things through, I said, okay. And I was dragging my feet. I said, okay, I'll go look at that house on 65th Northeast Way. Long story short, here we are. Looking back over that process of making that decision, can I say it was a bad decision when I was against it at first? Absolutely not. It's one of the best decisions that Mary Ann and I have ever made. So mutual submission is the key here. Years ago, we had this retired school principal. His name was Maurice Cook. And he fell in love in his senior year with an eighth grader, if you can believe that. And he waited until she grew up. Her name was Esther. And they got married, had a wonderful marriage. And so on Father's Day, I asked Maurice Cook, this professional educator, if he'd say a few words about the role of a husband on Father's Day. And so he got up and he gave his spiel about the husband's the head of the home and all that stuff. And he gave a real fine talk. And when he was talking, Esther was looking at him. And then when he had finished, I said, now, Esther, is there anything that you would like to add to what your husband said? And she said, I just make him think he's the head of the home. Wise woman, indeed. Yeah. Best illustration I've heard about this mutual submission doctrine is that a guy was driving his car out on a country road. And he came to a very narrow bridge on that narrow road, and in front of him was the sign, yield. And so he thought, okay, that's my job to yield to oncoming traffic. So he slows down, stops for oncoming traffic to cross, and then he peers over to see if anyone else is coming. No, and so he proceeds to drive over that bridge. All is clear, so he goes ahead. Later on that afternoon, he comes back across that very same bridge, and on the other side of the bridge was another sign that said, yield. So he thought, now, that's funny. I thought the yield sign was on the first side that I came on across the bridge this morning. So, as he went across the bridge, he looked back to make sure, and sure enough, on both sides of the bridge was the sign, yield. The point being this: you want to avoid a head-on collision in your relationship as husband and wife? Both drivers need to yield in a relationship. Now, we can be stubborn, we can be full of pride, do it my way or there's a highway. You will have a head-on collision if you take on that philosophy. Certainly, in my opinion, I believe a decision has to be made, the final decision, after you talk things through. And I believe that the final decision, even though it's not right necessarily, is the husband. Last week we talked about Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham made some bonehead decisions, but nonetheless, someone has to make a decision. And so there's a yielding that takes place. I like what William Hendrickson said. He said, when grace changes the heart, submission out of fear changes to submission out of love. I like that. So that's the first wall of this fortress that we are being built. It has four sides to it. And once we put up the other three sides, then that fortress is going to be a safe haven for those who reside within that fortress. And when the husband implements this principle and three others, which I will mention next Sunday, men, you're going to provide a fortress where your wife will feel safe, where she'll feel secure, and where she will feel loved. So submission is not a one-way street. The first wall is called what? Mutual submission. And there ends part one of this thrilling, fabulous teaching on us men, and it tells us what we need to do to build that fortress so that our wives and loved ones will be safe therein. Amen. Let's all stand together as we sing our closing song. Move the slides ahead, Faith, to our closing song, will you? May the God of all